And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, October 19th, 2013. This is Season 7, Episode 36. I'm Scott.
I'm James.
And I'm RJ.
And welcome to the show. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. That is 334-272-9228. You can find us on Twitter at In-Game Chat, as well as over on Facebook. You can also email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. We are streaming the cam right now on Twitch, and you can find us there as well and join us in the chat room live while we broadcast and talk to us about our topics. So jumping into our topics, anyway, welcome everybody in the chat room, Lavos and Moltau. Glad you guys are in there. As you can see, we're playing Cookie Clicker up there on the screen. James is going to be playing that.
Because why? It's going to be playing itself.
It is, really.
Which is essentially what happens when you're at 51.7 quadrillion cookies.
We were like, what can we put? We did League of Legends one time in our title, and then we're like, what can we do this time? We can put something up there, and we're like, what kind of browser-based game could we throw up? And like, Cookie Clicker came to mind, so we threw it up there. So we'll just be running that. It's just something fun, whatever. It's silly, stupid stuff. So anyway, welcome to the show. Jumping right into it, delay is what we got this week. Actually, kind of surprising, too, because I remember, was it Monday or Tuesday? I can't even remember what day it was this happened. So I'm going to look at that very quick just to see. That was on the 15th, so that was Tuesday.
That was exactly 1 month ahead of its supposed release.
It was. I'm sitting at my laptop here, and I'm looking at my Twitter feed, and I subscribe to Ubisoft's Twitter account, and I saw one come across saying the devs, Watchdog devs, have an important announcement. And I click, and I'm thinking, oh, a pre-order bonus or something. You know, I'm thinking, whatever. Your new video, multiplayer stuff, whatever.
ARG.
Yeah. And I click on it, and it's we really hate to do this. We really hate to say this. It saddens us to bring you this news, but we are delaying it.
Maybe it is an ARG. It's a joke. It can't be serious.
Yeah,
but it is, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. I read it and I jaw dropped a bit. And I directly sent you the link. I was like, "Oh, look at this!" And it's very surprising for a game to get delayed a month out.
Particularly a game that's really such an important part of a new console release window.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be it's released on like all the systems. Well, it's released on current gen, PC,
and next gen. And it was coming out at the same time on all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it's a multi-platform title and a cross-generational title, it turns out if you sample a lot of what people were talking about on the internet, both leading up to the release of the new consoles and after this announcement, there are a lot of people that considered that their premier game, particularly for PS4. There were a lot of people that really thought this is going to be the game that's really, really going to help me see what my PS4 is most capable of. Mm-hmm. And it's a real shame because it was marketed very, very heavily in general. But marketed specifically for the PlayStation. They even had a specific branded bundle from Sony, a Sony-Ubisoft Watch Dogs bundle partnership. This is not a retail bundle where they just, you know, sell you some game off the shelf that they've determined they want to move along with the hardware. No, this is something that actually came from Sony. It put a lot of people in the lurch for a while because they had pre-ordered that specific SKU and they didn't know, okay, now that the game isn't coming out, like, where am I in line? You know, am I still getting my system? Are you going to transfer that to another SKU? Something different? What are you going to do? It's really bad. And one month out from a release date, we should have heard that it had gone gold.
Gold, yeah.
That's the day when you start replication and then distribution. That is not the day you announce a delay. It's way too late. That is way, way, way too late. It's not good for anybody. I mean, delays happen. We all understand it, but that is a terrible, terrible way to announce it, to wait to the last possible moment. I have to believe there were a lot of internal arguments, a lot of weights and measures, a lot of balancing pros and cons, trying to figure out up until the last possible moment, should we do this?
Mm-hmm.
Should we do this? Whatever crunch time we have left, which is essentially nothing 1 month out, you know, that is the point where you have to make the decision. Are we going to master this game and are we going to distribute it? They were probably trying right up until the last minute to see if they could get it done to a workable state that maybe they could patch on launch day. And that they couldn't do it, should tell you exactly how far they think they are behind.
Right.
Right? Because this is the modern era. You can go ahead and master the game, and you can have all sorts of things still left hanging and underdeveloped that you can just patch out on launch day. That gives you another month of time to work. But the guess is that either 1 month was not enough time to build patchable material, or whatever is wrong with it can't be done through a patch. It's that significant. And it's anecdotal, but I have read in a lot of places and observed lots of conversations that have said from a lot of people, not normal journalists, that at pretty much the last handful of events where this game has been shown live, where people have been able to play it with hands on, it hasn't looked good. It's looked really disappointing, as a matter of fact.
I haven't. The only two places I've been are E3 and the Penny Arcade Expo.
Mm-hmm.
Watch Dogs, to my knowledge, and I understand that says pretty much a lot, maybe, or nothing at all. Watch Dogs was not playable on any of those show floors.
Not those, but I think more recently.
Gamescom?
Maybe.
Tokyo Game Show?
I don't know. It was at least being shown live.
Yeah. Now, they've done that. Now, I mean, it hasn't been playable on the show floor, but we did at Penny Arcade Expo, you know, herded it into a theater.
Right.
Sat down, and they played. The part that we saw played was a section of the game where somebody could use the app on iPad.
Sure.
Or whatever to be a second screen stuff that they were showing. They showed the game, but they showed the interaction between that and everything else.
Right.
And there's, you know, still telling us.
Well, let me turn that statement around. I have not heard one good word, not one optimistic, energetic piece of information, not one anecdote, not one story, not one piece of informal reporting from anyone who has seen the game in the last 3 months and said that they are really excited about it. And at almost every turn since its initial unveiling a year and almost a half ago, it has looked worse at every single display. It hasn't looked good. I am thinking that it isn't a question of maybe it being broken. I am really wondering if, you know, they said they pushed it back to next year, but they didn't give an exact date. Most importantly, they pushed it back into Ubisoft's next fiscal year.
Yeah.
It's past April 1st. It could be May. It could be next June. It could be next November,
mm-hmm.
for all we know. The game could be very, very broken by design. They could have been iterating on it over time and just realized that it's not a very good game. This thing could have been waiting not to amaze people, but to really disappoint them and really tarnish a new IP.
And we also could go into the thought that the guys at Ubisoft have of already Assassin's Creed is a yearly franchise thing. They have come out and said this. They have admitted to that they will continue to put a yearly output of an Assassin's Creed game each year, and they will do that until sales tell them not to. And if they are expecting to do, and I think they are with a lot of their titles, to franchise them, if they're expecting to do that with Watch Dogs, they can't have it doing it at the same time as Assassin's Creed. It cuts into both sales, likely, possibly. But if they have a staggered yearly
sure.
release.
No, I understand, but they didn't just figure that out November
14th. Right. No. I agree.
The release window of Watch Dogs, the release window of Assassin's Creed has been that way for mm-hmm. years now. That's a known factor.
And Watch Dogs has been scheduled to release
in November for probably a year.
Yeah.
So they obviously don't agree. Now, maybe they've seen something looking at the numbers rolling in over the last 6 months for pre-orders, you know, looking at particularly the console attach rates ever since we've been able to pre-order.
Mm-hmm.
The consoles themselves, and then the retailers started opening up pre-orders for the game. I don't know. I understand that it's worthwhile to consider that they're being really, really cynical right? That the pre-orders were decent for Watch Dogs. Maybe they were fantastic for Watch Dogs. I don't know. They were, per that emergency press conference, not so wonderful for Assassin's Creed. Fine. They move it out of the fall, then maybe some of that shifts over to Assassin's Creed. Judging by things that I've read online, judging by Twitter, judging probably by the numbers we'll see on launch day, a significant number of people have said, well, no, Watch Dogs, fine. I'll pick up Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
I'll do what maybe it is you want me to do. But what I think is more likely is that there is something incredibly wrong with this game. They are not being a good guy here. They're not. They didn't say, you know what, our game is really, really good. It's like really good, and we think it'll launch and be fine. But you know, we're gonna be a bro, and we're gonna polish it up, man. We're gonna put all of the little details where they need to be. We are absolutely gonna make it shine, and it's gonna be stellar right out of the. It's gonna be brilliant, guys, because we're great. We decided we're gonna take the hit. We're gonna take a 25% drop in our stock by pushing this thing out of this fiscal year and destroying our revenue predictions because we're that awesome for you. That is not what they're doing. They are not putting polish on it. They're still probably teaching it to walk. The game is probably in big trouble.
I would go so far as to say that everything you've seen of the game has been that particular section that they have been working on for that particular presentation. You know, it's like, look, we got an E3 presentation coming up. I want you guys to stop working on this game right now and focus all your attention on this demo that we've got to use.
On this section of gameplay. And when you think about what it is they've shown you,
considering
you have
that,
to know that as good as it looks is as good as it can look. So, I don't know. I'm still super excited about it. And I'm, you know, admittedly grouchy. Like, really, really grouchy that it's not coming out. And I wasn't picking it up on a console. I was really looking forward to seeing how far it could be pushed on the PC. But everybody was going to have the opportunity to play the game. Both new consoles, both of the major old consoles, the PC. I think a lot of people were looking forward to it. I'm not saying it's a mistake to have pushed it back. I think they probably made the right choice. But it's not because they're being your friend. It's not because they are enlightened. They did it because the game is messed up. The game is probably very broken. All we can hope for is that it just, you know, maybe they were pushing a little bit too hard. Maybe it was too important to get the game out and attach it to the release day of the new consoles. Maybe getting it out before Christmas and putting it right in that holiday season, which this holiday season, frankly, isn't all that great. Maybe that was too important and they realized the game just needed 6 more months to 9 more months or something like that. Maybe. The danger is that they believe the game is broken by design. The danger is that we're looking at something a little more like BioShock Infinite.
Possibly, yeah. That would be interesting to have.
Because that's exactly what happened to Infinite. It doesn't really resemble the game that we saw the year prior to its release. And it disappeared.
We poured over that after the game was released. We poured over all that footage that we had seen. It was around... Game released in April, and it wasn't until October the year prior that we actually saw gameplay from the game that we played in April.
Right.
Everything pre-October had shown us stuff that you could not find in the game itself. Completely different, you know, way the game looked, and maybe story, some type of story stuff had changed as well. We weren't sure. But we knew we saw a huge difference, and we may get that out of Watch Dogs. We may start seeing... something come up around April for PAX East or E3 next year, where things look different for the game if it hasn't already released. Pushing it like they did into the time of year that they did gives Ubisoft or gives its investors an entire year to have the game release. An entire year to rebuild anticipation, to rebuild a marketing strategy, and to rebuild sales of the game. Because I can't see a single person in a year in a month that we're about to get that is packed with game releases and new console releases. Keeping their pre-order on the game and not moving that money somewhere else.
I'll grant you the new console release. I won't grant that it's packed with games. I really won't. It doesn't actually look fantastic. Again, don't look at it from the point of view of a person that has a top-end gaming machine and mm-hmm. is buying both consoles launch day. That's not true for almost anyone. So looking at the gamescape for November, it's not quite as rich for everybody else as it is for you.
Yeah.
Those opportunities don't exist. Don't think about it from the perspective of a person that has a high-end PC and subtract, in this particular case, the Xbox One from the equation. Now, really all you're going to have is a dusty old grandpa system, right? Like your PS3 or your Xbox 360 that doesn't really have anything coming out on it, and you were pre-ordering a PS4. Now, what is your lineup look like? It's not that great.
Yeah.
Reverse the situation on the Xbox One. It's still not that great. It's not particularly good for either one. There are games coming out, but a lot of them are just getting attention because they are something to play on the launch console.
Mm-hmm.
Any other year, any other quarter, 2 years from now, those same games, regardless of how they look, most of them wouldn't get much attention at all. It's just something to feed your new console. And so I don't really think, I really won't agree that there are that many games really coming out. I mean, Batman in a week, Battlefield 4.
Yeah, Battlefield 4 and
Assassin's Creed, maybe. I don't know. It's a little hard to look forward to it after what they did with Assassin's Creed 3.
Yeah.
Leaves kind of a bad taste in my mouth, and I think others, too. I don't know. I can't say for sure. I'm still going to play it, but I wouldn't have given it any money. Not if Watch Dogs was around.
Oh, no. Yeah. I mean, I was just like you. I was prepared to play that on the PC. I was looking forward to it because I wasn't going to be playing hardly any of the launch titles that are exclusive to the systems. Renting them, yes. I was going to rent them and get some time in with them. But I had no intention on buying any of those. Drive Club, obviously.
Because that's gone too.
But Forza, you know, I'm not really a racing sim kind of guy. Forza's out there. Killer Instinct, not a fighting guy. Call of Duty, not a Call of Duty guy. What's the other ones that they had? Rise? I don't know. They have Dead Rising 3, possibly. And these are games that, again, could also see delays. Probably not Forza, but...
No.
You're not a sports guy either, are you?
No, I'm not. Because what are you thinking of? Madden, I guess, or whatever?
NHL, the newest MLB, The Show. I'm guessing that MLB 14, The Show, is going to be on PlayStation 4 as well. But, you know, with all these delays and the titles, like I said before, the roster of games coming out wasn't enough to really merit my pre-ordering one. I was just going to bide my time and wait. I mean, heck, I haven't bought a system at launch since the Dreamcast in 99. I mean, I've always had the same MO of just waiting for the roster to build up. And it's no different here.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the other some of the other exclusives for Xbox One. And then if I go back to the PS3 side, I'm looking at, and again, exclusives. Killzone. Killzone and Knack. Those are the only two I can think of offhand that are exclusive to that system. Outside of some of the PSN releases.
Second Son?
That's next year.
February.
February, okay.
That's not at launch.
Okay.
Yeah, and then, I mean, there's some PSN releases, that sort of thing. You know, you go into Contrast being there, but that's also on PC if you want to play it. So, specifically for that system, you're looking at two off the top of my head that I can think of. And if I looked at a list, I would see some multi-platform titles, AC4 being in there, Battlefield 4 being in there, COD being in there. But exclusives, which you can get... Xbox One seems to be pulling ahead in that department.
They already were a little bit. It doesn't really matter. I don't think it matters that much on launch day. I really, really don't. I think they're being sold for the people that are interested in buying them. It isn't just about launch day exclusives. I don't think that's that big a deal.
Yeah.
Navid disagrees with me. He says he thinks there's plenty to keep most people busy through the end of the year. And I guess semantically, I agree with you. There's plenty of busy work to do between now and the end of the year. Discounting, obviously, the backlog. I agree. I have tons of stuff to play. I just don't think it looks like... Subtract the new consoles out of the situation and just look at the games. It doesn't really look like years past, November, December. It doesn't. You've got the annualization of AC, Assassin's Creed. You've got the annualization of Call of Duty. You've got the new Battlefield. Like, that's... Those are mostly good. And there's a couple of smaller things, but I think a lot of the stuff that's actually filling up the roster isn't of, I can't say anything about the quality, but just the general interest level of a lot of this stuff doesn't seem to be as high as it would be in any other year, where the simple fact of next generation hardware, I think, is what's selling the idea of purchasing games this year. It's not just the games themselves. They're not speaking for themselves right now. That's an opinion, obviously. But I know it's not enough. I have a pre-order, but it's not enough for me to maintain it.
Yeah. You know, we've talked about that. The opening of the past two shows, we've always opened up talking about our decisions on getting these new consoles. Your decision on whether you were going to keep your pre-order or not, ultimately telling us last week that you're really not going to keep your pre-order. There's nothing for you to play to pick up on the PS4.
I can't think of anything to really play on the PS4 until Infamous, I guess.
Yeah, I hit up our Facebook page and I asked people on Facebook as to what they were going to do with their next-gen decisions. Are they getting one of the new systems? Are they just going to upgrade the PC? What games are they getting? You know, what's your reasoning for what you're doing for next-gen, if you're doing anything at all? And got quite a lot of responses, and we'll go over those a little bit later on. Anyway, we've got to take our first break of the show. When we come back, we'll talk about more games getting delayed. We'll talk about money being lost, and shares dropping, and it's all Ubisoft that we have to talk about pretty much. But more of that coming up next. We'll be right back with more in-game chat. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music there from Uncharted, a PlayStation exclusive title. We're talking about the consoles. We're talking about delayed delay games and exclusives and that sort of thing. Right now we're on the subject of Ubisoft having delayed Watch Dogs a month before its release. The same day we got word that Drive Club the same day we got word that The Crew was getting delayed, another Ubisoft game. An Ubisoft driving game.
Did that have a firm date? It was like February, something like that. It was in the early part of next year, I think.
Yes, yeah. And
that's also now been pushed back past first quarter.
Yeah, exactly. It got delayed as well. It's not as big of a deal. That's a perfect time to announce your delay. That much time in between release and whatever. You know, you're not a month out from your delay. I apparently, with their Watch Dogs announcement, you know, of that being delayed, they had a few others that they wanted to slip in there, which was The Crew having its situation. A day before, they had already announced that the Rayman game that they released in Splinter Cell Blacklist underperformed by their standards. And that was, you know, bad news for them. When Watch Dogs had been announced, and of course The Crew being announced that they were getting delayed, they held an emergency conference call with their investors that anybody can pretty much listen in on it. And I listened in on it, and it said exactly what you would expect when announcing this, is that, look, We know you guys were expecting to have this much money coming in this year, but we need to adjust our projections. Watch Dogs is getting moved, so that's off the table. So you're coming in a lot lower than what we expected. Assassin's Creed 4, they dropped the expectations of what it was going to make from this year as well. So it was a lot of bad news for their investors, but of course their news for next year was very hopeful. You know, very much that, well, we were going to have Watch Dogs released. We're going to have the crew out there. We're going to have another Assassin's Creed game out there and anything else that they're going to be doing. And so that part looked hopeful, but the crew got delayed. And then there were rumors popping up that same day that Drive Club was being delayed. We didn't hear anything, but there was rumors about it. And then the very next day, it was confirmed that Drive Club was getting pushed back to 2014. Being a black hole, just sucking all the games from this year into the later part or mid part to later part of 2014. Drive Club, interesting because that's a Sony thing. That was not multi-platform. You were going to get, if you were a PS Plus member, you were going to get some of the game. I don't think the entire game, but like part of
some free-to-play portion.
Yeah,
of it.
Yeah. If you were a PS Plus subscriber. And then that was gone. They replaced that with a game called Contrast, which if you were really looking forward to Drive Club, Contrast is just ain't going to scratch that itch. I was really looking forward to Contrast. I'm good. That's fine with me. I still want to play it on the PC, though. But to have it free through PS Plus on my PS4, sure. You know, that was a nice little addition. But if you were really looking forward to Drive Club, it's not going to that substitution is not going to satisfy you. So that's a big hit to them. It wasn't necessarily their answer to Forza. GT, you know, Gran Turismo is their Forza is Microsoft's answer to Gran Turismo, basically, is the way that works. But it was something that their next gen system, their PS4, was going to have against Forza on Microsoft's next gen system, the Xbox One, that it doesn't have anymore. I have no idea. You talk about people seeing Watch Dogs and having negative things to say about it. I talk about not hearing anybody say anything about Drive Club. I haven't seen this thing at any of the shows I've been to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. It was not on the show floor playable at E3. Nor was it playable at Penny Arcade Expo. The crew was, oddly enough, the crew was playable at Penny Arcade Expo, and I played it. But Drive Club was not there. I just haven't heard a lot about it. Forza has always been on display. You can play it and whatever, at both E3 and at PAX. But Drive Club has sort of just been under the radar, pretty quiet. Some video presentations here and there, you know, E3 for the reveal of it, but not much beyond that. So it sort of doesn't surprise me that it's getting delayed. It doesn't really affect me personally because I wasn't interested in it. I'm not interested in Forza. I'm not a driving sim kind of guy. I'm more of an arcadey drive kind of guy. The crew being delayed is a disappointment, but I've still got Need for Speed coming out. Now, that's a multi-platform system or a multi-platform game. It's getting released on the PS4, the Xbox One, the 360, and the PS3, as well as PC. So it's covering the playfield, as it were. But it's not a Sony title. It's not. Sony can really only hope to come out on top whenever they do version breakdowns in reviews and stuff, and saying this really plays great on the PS4, to kind of grab some of those people who wanted to play Drive Club. I mean, some of those people who have their pre-orders in for PS4 and were looking forward to Drive Club, do I think that their shift is going to be going to, their pre-order shift is going to Need for Speed? Possibly, if they just want to drive, if they're looking for a racing game, but
there are a lot of people who just want something to drive. Yeah. Having something available like that on your system matters a lot.
Yeah.
Just being able to hop in a car and get what you can get from a driving game, whether it's sim or arcade, sometimes has a lot of carries a lot of weight with a lot of people.
Yeah, and so maybe that'll be the case. You may see a surge, and you know, maybe EA has a conference call with their investors saying, "Got great news for you. We had low estimates for that Need for Speed game, but those have gone up now. Pre-orders have shifted, so we got a better outlook for you." Not exactly sure how that's gonna play out. a lot of these, if they're multi-platform, man, I want to play them on my PC. I do. You seem to get more out of it. Arkham Origins is a great way to look at that, especially after NVIDIA did their big presentation this past week and had Arkham Origins as a title they were showing off. It's interesting, the NVIDIA presentation. They were talking about, you know, new stuff that, that their graphics cards can do, new stuff that physics can do. And they showcased Batman Arkham Origins, which was great. I had already known that it was going to have a bunch of stuff. That was wonderful to see. And they showed that. Then they moved on to Watch Dogs, of all things.
They did, yeah.
And blacked that
out.
And
they blacked it out at the request of the publisher.
We already knew the game had been delayed, but they went ahead and
showed... But they went ahead and showed what they had put together for their presentation, but Ubisoft would not allow them to show it on the live stream.
Same with AC4, Assassin's Creed 4.
I think I heard from what people were saying at the presentation that the Assassin's Creed 4 was using some debug stuff. They were doing a lot of really questionable non-gameplay types of stuff to show off the world because they were trying to showcase the world building and the technology that they were using to push that world building to the edge of the envelope. So they didn't really want that being a part of the marketing and distribution of the game at this point, which seems fair enough.
Yeah.
But... yeah, it was a little sad. It was a sad little punctuation to come right after the cancellation of Watch Dogs.
Game's canceled, but here's what your cards are going to be able to do when it does get released. Look at all these leaves that can blow around in the as you walk through, and here's the fog stuff that it can do, and the lighting and everything else. But I told you this. I always find it interesting. I always find it stupid, actually, that a visual medium, that something that is a visual medium will get denied visibility. They're there to show. They're not there to tell. They're there to show, and they won't allow it to be shown to the general public.
You read previews, right? You read previews. You go to websites. You read what the journalists have written on paper or on the internet after having seen the actual video. And been to the presentation, right? When was the last time you read a preview that was even remotely skeptical, much less critical, not analytical, but was an advertisement? I mean, that's pretty universal. Even amongst the people that you kind of like, previews are advertisements. That's just another way for them to control the message. I never read previews that have real questions about what's going on there. Or if they have any kind of question, they usually dismiss them by saying, magic stuff happens in the last 3 months before a game comes out, so don't worry.
Mm-hmm.
Or more honestly, we're not going to say anything bad because maybe this will be fixed and we don't want to look stupid. But for the most part, they're just advertisements. Whereas if they showed the video, if they showed the same thing to you and me, if they piped that video of that underbaked, not yet finished game to the average public where they could not control context and where they couldn't have a PR representative or someone from the publishing or development teams right at their elbow to say, no, this is something we're actually working on. This is an old build. Let me reassure you how old this build is. Oh, are you really happy with it? Yeah, the game's great. Oh, do you have questions about it? Well, it's an old build. Or we're working on that. Or this should be changed. Or... whatever, you know, it's context, and they want to be able to control the context because that's how they shape the marketing message. Yeah. Previews are a part of marketing. That's it.
It's all part of business.
If you deliver nothing but the video to the world, then you have no context and you cannot control the message. From their point of view, it's not a good idea.
Yeah.
It may not even be from ours. You know, you may come to a premature conclusion about a game. You may look at it and say, it looks like crap. And then you don't ever want to look at it again. And maybe the thing that you were shown wasn't particularly well framed. It wasn't well built.
Which is something we always used to have a problem with on demos sometimes. When people would release demos, it's like, you know what? That goes 50-50 for you, man.
Yes.
You're releasing, depending on when you release that demo, if you release it as the, even still, regardless, if a demo exists for your game, there's a chance for somebody to change their mind either way on purchasing it. And so you've got to be very careful with demos. That's why you don't really see too many of them as much as you used to.
Yeah, they're really rare now.
They used to be trying to get it into your hand so it's, you know, hey, so you could click that button that says go ahead and pre-order and stuff like that. Now it's, you know, speaking of PAX again, I go into the Watch Dogs Theater, I watch the footage, and as you leave, they have clipboards where they can take your information so you can pre-order the game. If you pre-order it now, if you pre-order it right now, you'll get this shirt and all this other stuff that we've got. Yeah, I mean, you haven't been.
It doesn't stop it being funny.
I know. It's funny when it happens, but it's just, if you knew how everybody, like Ubisoft had it.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the other one? Turtle Beach. I mean, they all have Warner Brothers. They all have a desk where you can walk up to and be like, here's my name, here's my info, here's my card, whatever. Or they've got iPads sitting out where you can just do it yourself, but you can put in your pre-order.
It's a, I don't know, it kind of smacks of timeshare pressure sales, you know? Like, here you go, you've just seen everything, you've just seen all the preview materials, and you're in our booth, and we can overwhelm you.
Mm-hmm.
We can shock your senses with 100 different ways of describing how amazing this is going to be, and you could like totally be in on it with special swag right now if you just, you know, do whatever it is we want you to do. Just give us money. Just give us money right now. Yeah. Pre-ordering based on a preview is still pre-ordering sight unseen.
Mm-hmm.
At best, you don't know exactly what you're getting. At worst, you've been lied to. And it's, I pre-order sometimes. It's fine. Mostly for the 10% discount on Steam or whatever. I'm far more interested in early access type stuff where pre-order money is concerned. But
yeah.
Or a small discount, something like that. I'm not inherently against pre-orders. I just they've become a bit of a joke, like a big scary multi-billion-dollar joke.
It is.
And it's not, the way that they handle them isn't particularly good.
I don't have the conflict anymore. Like I used to, of which system I'll get it on and if I'm going to get the pre-order with it. Obviously, if it's an exclusive title, Uncharted 4 gets released and it's got another statue. Guess what? I'm getting the collector's edition of that game.
Yeah.
Batman Arkham Origins has a UK pre-order and a US pre-order. That, again, is something I hate. Because
It's worse than retailer-specific.
Yeah, really.
It's region-specific, which puts it essentially out of your reach,
completely.
No matter how much money you want to spend.
You can make that decision. So Arkham Origins has that, and it comes with a nice little statue, an art book, and steel book, and all this stuff that you get for like $150. But my first question on any kind of multi-platform is it going to be on PC, and what's it going to look like on PC? And if it's there on PC, this is something I do now, not something I did when Arkham City was released, just to put it into a time frame. Releases on PC, who, by the way, doesn't get those really nice collector's editions. Those usually seem to be reserved for the console.
Well, they're very retailer-oriented, mm-hmm. and most brick-and-mortars don't even carry
PC.
I mean, they carry PC stuff a little bit, but it's not a driving force of their game sales.
Yeah. And for PC games, mostly people go the digital route anyway. Why would you go out to the store and pick this up?
Exactly.
I am...
In fact, odd thing is that the UK version of Arkham Origins, the retail PC, the boxed version of the PC copy, is getting delayed 2 weeks. It's getting delayed 2 weeks. The digital version, UK, is fine. You can still go ahead and pick that up for PC, but if you're getting a boxed copy, you can't do it until 2 weeks out. So,
any reason, or is it still the same?
I don't know what their reasoning on it was.
Okay.
But I agree with you. Yeah, for the most part, digital. They're pretty much digital as it is.
Mm-hmm.
Your PC copies. So,
for all the reasons, digital is good. Mm-hmm. There are still plenty of people who like physical goods. I don't understand it personally. I understand it intellectually, objectively, but I don't share the opinion. Mm-hmm. I like statuary. I think a nice piece of collector's material is... Sure, you can make a good argument that they're nice things if you have a place where you want to put those things. It doesn't do anything for me. I want the game. That's what I want. I want the game, and I want it to be excellent. I want it to be fun. I I'm in it for the gameplay. I'm not in it for any of the other stuff. I was more when I was younger, less now. I just want the video game. So I'm not at any kind of personal loss there not being any physical goods available for the PC these days. I very much like the digital goods. Mm-hmm. So that's one less reason for me to pre-order ever. But in that vein, I think that the... I agree with some of the stuff in the chat room. I think that the traditional form of
previews
are going to become extinct. Actually, I think the traditional form, the thing that was around for so long, already is. Previews in print magazines used to be incredibly important.
Mm-hmm.
And then for a time, they were incredibly important online. And I suppose from a business standpoint, they still are very, very important because it's about how you control that message. You're trying to shape those pre-order numbers because they have a huge effect on your bottom line. But ultimately, one of the best things that you can possibly have is a really, really good game that every Yahoo with an interesting, you know, setup at home that allows them to stream console games and a decent internet connection and the willingness to plop down in their chair and stream over Twitch for a few hours so that you can actually see what the game is and not just get one opinion and not just get one type of opinion. You're not just looking at the professional media opinion. You're not just looking at the opinion of a guy who had to approach this as a part of his job or the guy that had to be flown 12 hours on a plane and then put down in a conference room with somebody who had their hand on his shoulder. That's not what you're getting. You're going to get the opinions of regular people. Terrible, stupid, inspired, intelligent, whatever. You're going to get your own spectrum of opinions, and you can source it however you like, and you can find more and more and more people who you think their tastes and yours align.
Yeah.
So you can look at what they have to say, and that's really where it is. I know that it doesn't necessarily satisfy the preview, but it so completely destroys the need for a review that I think both of them become ultimately pretty useless.
You know, we said it for a long time back then that we talk about a game being released and say, well, I'll watch the game trailers review.
Yeah, I used to care an awful lot about that.
Not necessarily from the words being said, but it gave us a visual. It gave us something visual to look at and see it being played. Because you didn't, for a while there, you didn't have the Let's Plays and the previews and that sort of thing going on YouTube. It was basically if you wanted to see the game in action that wasn't, again, posted on the YouTube account of the publisher, mm-hmm. you'd watch the game trailers review and see what they scored it. But it also let you look at the game and see it in play and see it doing its stuff. Even though looking at it now, that all comes from B-roll footage that is either sent to them or that is told that don't show this section or this section. You can only show this section being played or something like that. A lot of what they had with Last of Us, I think? They had an issue with Last of Us, right?
How so?
Remember game trailers that only had like a 13-minute, or not 13
no,
minutes.
I remember now.
Yeah. It's like a 3-minute review of it because they weren't allowed.
They weren't allowed to do a proper review.
Yeah.
They weren't given the game in enough time. They were restricted and told that they couldn't display everything that they wanted to. Mm-hmm. So they're like, whatever, here's the game. Looks okay.
Yeah. And it did fine. But yeah, it's sort of like you said, and like they said in the chat room, it's moved over to the things that some of the things that we do with just playing these games, so you can see them and hear us talk about them
It isn't just about showing the game. There was a reason we liked the game trailers reviews simply because if they made some comment about the graphics, about graphical glitches, about the nature of the voice acting or the narrative, they could very, very easily excerpt portions of that mm-hmm. and put it in video and you can see for yourself. Yes, it looks quite pretty. Mm-hmm. Or, yes, it looks incredibly ugly.
Right.
But having Let's Plays, having streams, having all these things means that you can source any number of different opinions. And having a broader source, having more points of interest, just means you're more likely to find somebody who's going to be showing you what you really need to see to decide if you like the game. It's not going to come out of bullet points on the back of the box. It's not going to come on a fact sheet or a press release bulletin. And only having a few people do it isn't enough. I very much enjoy things by people like Total Biscuit. But I have watched his excerpts of games that I have already played. And sometimes I find them to be a very bad representation, even if he likes the game, because he's a busy guy. He's a busy, busy, busy guy. And when he cuts you out 30 to 40 minutes of any particular game, that's fine. But that's not the only thing he did that day. He probably did five things that day, and he's got to move on to the next game. And I have sometimes been able to really, really sense the urgency, the need to just get through this. I just have to get through it.
Mm-hmm.
I have to talk about what's here in front of me. I have to play it. I have to form an opinion on the fly. Compare that opinion to what I thought going into this. Cross-reference that with the knowledge that I have over the publisher, the producer, the developer, and the history of this franchise. All of that stuff, I've got to do that. I've got this block of time to do it, and I got to move on because I got to do this five more times this week.
Yeah, because then it's got to go to my producer guys who are going to put the title screens in front of it and everything, and then make
right.
make the art for
it
the
it is a production,
all this
and, he,
stuff.
And he's a busy guy, and what I'm it nothing against all of that. But there is oftentimes a sense of urgency, just like there is in the more traditional forms of media. And you have to, well, you don't have to, but it helps to know about that. It helps to know that
you've heard us.
Everybody's selling you something.
Yeah,
you've
heard us go on the air saying, "I beat it 10 minutes before 10 minutes
we walked
in the door."
Yeah. Studio. Yeah.
So,
all I'm saying is, by sourcing all of these opinions from people just honestly playing the game, you are looking at such a broad spectrum of people that you're more likely to find something that's useful to you somewhere in some form. Of course, it still requires that a whole lot of people buy the game sight unseen.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. We're at the beginning of a major change for those things. It'll be nice to see what the new consoles are able to do,
especially
since
they
all have built-in streaming capabilities.
Exactly.
That's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be not so much fun for traditional media models, but
mm-hmm.
It's going to be fun for everybody else.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've always looked at it as if somebody has a review of the game and somebody has a video review of the game, which one do you go to? Well, I'm going to go to that video review. I'm going to scroll through the written review and see the score, and then I'm going to watch that video review. 9 times out of 10, for me personally, I'm going to watch a video review over reading the review. Depending on who the reviewer is, you know, if it's somebody who only does written reviews, I'm very interested in what they have to say, but just put them side by side. I'm going to watch a video review over the other one. One of the reasons we do what we do now, putting this show on YouTube for people to have. I know watching us is a exciting way to spend your...
we have Cookie Clicker on in the background. 52 quadrillion cookies now, by the way.
Nice. Good. Yeah, keep it going. So, video over audio and video over the written word type of situation.
I don't even know about over the written word. The written word is certainly still very, very good as long as it's being used by people that know how to use it correctly. It's
right.
All fine. More, I suppose what I'm trying to say is more information is better
mm-hmm.
than less information.
That's very true.
And the only way to get consistent sources of more information is to put it in the hands of more people. Kind of popularize it, democratize it,
mm-hmm.
get it out everywhere, and get every person anywhere posting his videos, posting his shots. It's more likely that you're going to hear what you need to hear. Of course, it's also more likely
you hear that
you're
PR
just,
folks.
You're going to go find. You're also just going to go find what you want to hear.
Yeah.
So that's a problem as well.
Send us your games. We'll play them and stream them. I did. You know what? Zen sent me a preview of the Star Wars tables.
Yeah.
And it's been our most watched video. That's wonderful for pinball. I love that. That we've got ever how many people have watched that video of the preview of the three tables. So that's great. And I would love to do more of that. So send us your games. But not only send us your games, but don't restrict. Don't put an embargo on what we can show the day the game releases or something like that. I don't necessarily like that. From what I understand, Batman Arkham Origins, the review embargo is the day it releases.
Yeah, that's unpleasant.
I mean, it doesn't necessarily
Beyond
mean,
had the same thing.
Yeah. It did.
It's extremely common.
Yeah,
and I understand sometimes why they do that.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean anything bad, but it's annoying. You put it out earlier. Well, obviously, you run the same chances you do with the demo. You put it out there, and it gives people time to change their mind, or good or bad.
Yeah. You got to hurt sales. You got a chance of hurting sales. You got to do whatever you can to stop that.
The worst thing about this business, honestly, is that it's a business.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, money's the bottom line.
And the top line, and every line that connects everything else. It's too much. There's no other way around it. I know. I can bemoan that for hours on end.
It's the reason we got commercials in this
show.
It
really is the saddest fact. It really is. Even your baseline enthusiast, right? I mean, and I am saying enthusiast, not just any average 8-year-old that plays handheld games, but your baseline video game enthusiast now knows more about the business than your baseline enthusiast did 10 or 15 years ago, just because it's so much a part of the conversation. Everyone is so much more aware of it. Mm. And it's troublesome because it all comes back to that. And it's such a hard business, the margins have a tendency to be so narrow and all of the costs are so high that you almost develop a little sympathy for the publishers.
Yeah. That being said, we're going to take a break so we can run some commercials for you. Because this is a business, and we'll be back with more in-game chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chats. Talking about the new console releases, the game delays, that sort of thing. I had a post on Facebook this week. We were curious, are you getting a new system next month? Is it an Xbox One, a PS4? Are you building or just upgrading to PC? What's your plan for next gen? What games are you getting? And some of the responses we got a lot of responses about it. Ian Angus responded, he's going to be getting the PS4. He said he'll be there day one. He would be getting the Xbox One too, but he cannot afford two big purchases within such a short amount of time. Plus, he says, I'm not clear on how the Xbox's TV stuff will work in the UK. My digital receiver is built into my TV, so I have nothing to go into the Xbox's HDMI in. I need to research this a bit more. Paul Morissette responded and said, I won't be getting either, at least initially. I generally follow the rule of when there are enough games I want that they match the price of the system itself, I'll buy it. But neither launch lineup is particularly appealing to me. Instead, I'll probably upgrade the PC as it's where I play the majority of my games these days. Nathan responded and said, well, I built my PC about 3 years ago, so she definitely needs an upgrade. But I think I'll wait for solid-state drives to get a little cheaper and buy the whole lot in a year or two. As for next-gen console, I was on board for the Xbox One all the way until the whole issues started popping up and they backtracked. Their backtracking just made me not want to get it, so I'll be picking a PS4 for Christmas for sure, and then after upgrading the PC, that's when I'll get an Xbox One. You're looking at the upgrade PC route too, as well, James.
Yes.
After you got to go cancel your PS4 pre-order,
right?
But you're looking at doing the upgrade, and you were also looking at. We were going over like the parts, and SSD was kind of on the top of that list.
I'm okay with my core right now. The core of my PC, I'm all right with it. I have an old Sandy Bridge i5 that's overclocked to the bejeebus, you know, because they're that good at it. I run a 7950, an AMD 7950, gray card, performing really, really well for me. Also overclocked incredibly, and both of them are performing really, really well. I'm happy with that. But I'm still running on a mechanical drive. So I'm okay with the cost now. It's well below $1 a gigabyte. So mm-hmm. you can get a 250, which I think is, I don't know, about the smallest thing that could still
reasonable.
Act like,
yeah.
like a really, like a full
they've
kind
got
of
a,
drive.
They've got a 500 gig one out there, but it's obnoxiously expensive.
It's not obnoxiously expensive. It's like, well, not for the performance. It's less than $400. You can get a 500 gig Samsung 840 Evo for like, I think, under $400. So, and granted, that is a lot of money for a hard drive when you can get a terabyte for, what, around 100? I'm not even sure. A terabyte mechanical drive. But
Newegg
if that's something...
Sounds about right.
Right. Yeah. If you that's don't right. have an SSD and you're happy with the rest of your system, if you're in a situation like I am and you still haven't made the upgrade, it's a decent enough time to make that upgrade. I also need a better keyboard because my last good keyboard died. So... You know, I'm probably in the neighborhood of about $100 for a good keyboard. I haven't made up my mind which yet, but there's a couple of things that I can do to fill out my PC.
Yeah, Naveed says, speaking of PC upgrades, anyone interested in the NVIDIA G-Sync? Which is something that we saw.
Yeah, well, that's a big thing that came out of NVIDIA's little special two-day presentation.
Spent a lot more time on it than I thought they would for, you know, for a monitor, not necessarily enhancement, but you know, for what it was, you know, bringing out Carmack on stage for that, and Mark Rain, and there was a third person with that. But I mean, when you have those two giants sitting up there, I don't know who the third person was with that. But yeah, it was a big deal,
right?
This past week for that, it's going to be integrated into some monitors, but there's actual kit you can buy for I think $175, and you can install the chip yourself.
At the moment, one specific model that will be available later with off-the-shelf modifications. Now, did you really read into that? Is that a thing you care at all about? Is it something that you follow? What is they were talking about? Because it's interesting, right? Like in italics, I just said that. it's interesting because everything has gotten so much more interesting right now. And I, forgive me, please, for a moment, for the rest of this segment, I think I'm going to go a little bit PC versus console.
Okay.
But not in any particularly bad way. I would like to reiterate, I'm an owner of all of them, and I will be again in the future. But we've gone over the point of what PCs have been over the last several years compared to where the consoles have been. And right now, those consoles are catching up in an interesting way, and they're doing a lot of things that make them very interesting again. Maybe not to me, and maybe not at the moment, but they're good again. You know, it's a good refresh on the technology. It's a good new kind of generational leap. I don't really want to argue too much about locked frame rates and sub 1080p rendering. You can have a lot of technical arguments there, but that's not the point I'd like to dispute. The thing is that if you look at what the PC is offering, kind of moving forward a little bit, it is a much more fascinating place because it's always been the best place for experimentation, where really aggressive technology goes to incubate and to develop before it becomes mainstream. And I'm thinking about things like the Oculus Rift, and I'm thinking about things now like... G-Sync.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, not in sync. But NVIDIA.
I know. Right? I know. It's, you know that they're marketing
people. You know
people.
That they had
they're
a
like,
laugh about that and that...
We got to figure out some other way. We got to call it something
else.
Yeah,
we really can't do that.
But, yeah.
G-Sync is going to serve to solve an awful lot of problems that probably aren't even clear. It's probably not even clear that they exist to people who only play on consoles. There are several different issues on the PC about the nature of how monitors work and about how the signal from your video card gets to your monitor and which of these two things is really in charge of displaying it, right? And that's why you have VSync in a game where you can just set VSync so that there's an attempt to match up the refresh rate of the monitor when the monitor actually decides to draw an image. and when the game is actually kind of sourcing the image. There's a lot of technical stuff in it, and I don't understand it perfectly.
What do you normally do for that setting?
I do not use VSync.
I turn it off.
Yeah. I can't stand it.
I turn it off.
If you have a really, really overpowered machine or a very powerful machine, you are always going to be up above 60 frames. When your frame rate in a video game is higher than the monitor it's being displayed on, you get an awful lot of tearing. You get that weird ripping apart of the image when you move around in the world, because the video card is serving up half-drawn images to the monitor, essentially. And it's a really, really nasty thing. If you're going to be below the refresh rate, you get a lot of weird judder, right? You think you've got a decent frame rate, somewhere in the 40s or 50s, which isn't stellar, but it's pretty good. It's playable for most people in most situations. Yeah. But you get a strange feeling that the frame rate is much lower than it actually is. Weird responsiveness, strange hitching and jittering and juddering in the image. This is all about the lack of synchronization between a monitor and what the video card is actually trying to do. So very simply put, this new technology allows the video card completely to control when the monitor refreshes. It's a dynamic refresh rate, and it requires hard tech in the actual monitor. But at the moment, they said, what do they have? They have Asus, Toshiba, BenQ. And I cannot remember the fourth, but at least four major and Philips.
ViewSonic.
Oh, ViewSonic. So it's Philips, ViewSonic, BenQ, and Asus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is what they're proposing, what they're saying it does, it solves problems for people all along the spectrum of PC gaming. If you're consistently in that space between 30 and 60 frames, it's going to smooth out a lot of that juddering. You're just going to get your natural frame rate, which isn't as good as above 60, but it isn't going to be that really harsh point where your image quality kind of changes, and for which there's never been a perfect solution. If you're above 60, it's going to completely eliminate the tearing.
Right.
And it's also going to reduce some of the penalties, so I've read, of people who are pushing their hardware into 1440p and 1600p and 4K gaming, right, where you're losing an awful lot of your frame rate.
This has been one of my conundrums over monitor upgrades. Do I go the 27-inch 1440? Do I get the higher resolution? Or do I go for the 24-inch
1080p
size, 1080p, but with the 120
hertz.
Yeah, the 120
or the 144 hertz or something like that.
Exactly. Do I get the better refresh rate, or do I get the better resolution? Which one do I go with?
And what are you willing to sacrifice? Image quality? Frame rate? It's a tough decision.
It
has been a tough decision. And there are a lot of people now, for years, people willing to pay more for a good monitor have had 120 hertz monitors or 144 hertz monitors, particularly people that wanted to do 3D on their monitors. That becomes much less of an issue now, because the ability to smooth out that image is going to be possible for the people that have one of the GPUs that's capable of doing this from NVIDIA and one of the monitors that comes partnered with the necessary encoding hardware built into it. It's going to be a non-trivial cost. I mean, they're talking about it adding something like $150, $175 to the cost of any particular monitor.
Yeah.
So a 24-inch 1080p monitor, I think the one from Asus currently, with this tech, will put it at about $400.
Yeah.
And without it, I think $250-ish, $275.
I got a 24-inch 1080p Asus. That I picked up for a Black Friday deal or a Newegg Black Friday deal. It was about $179 for what I picked it up for.
Mm-hmm.
And then a year later, it went on sale again for another, again, Black Friday situation, $179, $160, and I picked it up. So I have two of them. But you're right. It's adding another. It was already on sale, so it was in like the $200 mark.
Right.
And then you're adding another $175 to it for this technology. So the $400 range sounds about right.
And what's tough is that on paper, even on video, if you have off-screen video or even direct-sourced video. You can't really sell this tech. This is one of those instances, despite what we were talking about in the last segment, where I'm really, really going to believe the people who were in the room.
Yeah.
The people who saw it with their own eyes. This isn't going to be the kind of thing you have to have because you saw an article on it. This is probably going to be the thing that you have to have once you've seen it with your own eyes.
Screen resolution, anything. If somebody came to you on their not high definition or not HDMI signal or something, said, here's what HD looks like, and showed you a picture of HD through a non-HD screen, you can't get... Stuff like monitor selection is such a visual thing, such a
I need to see it's experiential.
Yeah. When I go and buy a new TV, I can't just be like, let me go to Amazon and put in these things. I want to, okay.
It's I'll why get there's one. A Best Buy.
Yeah.
You go to Best Buy and then you order it from Amazon.
Right. you really have to see these things with your own eyes to make the judgment on that. So,
but my understanding is from people who were watching demos of games being played side by side, one monitor without the tech, one monitor with. It was, and all other things being equal, it still felt night and day. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be something in the essence of the experience you have with it, something that evens out a lot of these arguments about frame rate, that makes ultimate frame rates and ultimate or very high-end refresh values on a nice monitor, like 120 hertz, makes it, it's not going to trivialize it. But the gap is going to be narrowed. It is going to be a much better way for people to approach their buying decisions. When you're talking about GPU, when you're talking about resolution, when you're talking about trade-offs between image quality versus frame rate, resolution, all of these different things. It is essentially, put very simply, it's just going to make everything feel better and look smoother.
Yeah.
As long as you are above 30 frames and below 144, mm-hmm. That's its supposed range. And I know it seems like a little bit of odd tech. It seems like a pretty niche development. But once this thing finds its way into the mainstream, in the next handful of years, probably for PC gamers, a problem, of course, being you don't buy a new monitor all that often.
No, monitor's one of your...
They're a bit of a durable good in the PC space, and you really only buy one when you need to, just like a television. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people out there with 24-inch 1080p monitors that refresh at 60 hertz. They are commodity parts, and they have gotten so cheap. You can find a decent one for, $150, $200? Not a great one, but a decent one. No Dell UltraSharp or anything.
Yeah.
But you can find really, really good... Asus or BenQ or something like that in the sub $200 range, mm-hmm. or just over $200, and it's really good and it'll do you just fine. But for a lot of people that are looking to move into the new space, maybe I want to get a better GPU, maybe I want to get a monitor that I can do 1440 on, maybe I wanted 120 hertz, people who are already starting to ask questions about their next $300-$500 monitor purchase.
We've talked about it.
And this factors in greatly.
We talked about, you know, your one of the upgrades for you on your PC build is the SSD. That's at the top of your list.
Right.
If I look at my machine, I'm like, one of the upgrades I need is my monitor.
Right.
Which it's fine the way it is, but if I was looking at any part of my machine
to make
to upgrade,
better.
Yeah. My monitor sit on the low end
right.
of what the thing can do. So.
And I am, it actually changes significantly the likelihood of me going back to NVIDIA from my next card. AMD performs wonderfully in that marginal kind of price performance space.
Mm-hmm.
They are much more affordable. They give the average guy who doesn't have an awful lot of money to spend a whole lot of bang for his buck. But NVIDIA routinely owns the top end. They are the enthusiast brand. Enthusiast GPUs are green, and that's all there is to it. I mean, what was the new card they announced? They announced a Ti version of the 780.
Yeah.
Which apparently...
We don't know anything about yet.
Is
other than,
right line in line, possibly ahead of the Titan.
Yeah, they said it is the best... Sure. They said it is the best GPU on the market. Now, that's NVIDIA speak to say that we're better than AMD, because right now they're in that nice little... AMD just made an announcement not too long ago for their Radeon series. And everybody was kind of waiting
for their current and next gen.
For their current and next
gen tech, actually.
And everybody was waiting for NVIDIA's response, be it a price cut, be it, you know,
their own version of OpenGL extensions or some other kind of close to metal API.
Yeah.
Nobody really knows.
And what we got was the 780 Ti, which we know nothing about other than what they said. It's the best one on the market. Now, currently, Titan sits at that, for NVIDIA, currently Titan sits at that thing. Titan's your 1K card. Your $1,000 component, and it sits at the top of the hill on that thing for the most part. I mean, you could look at benchmarks of certain games in certain settings and find things that beat that.
Well, and we're not those guys.
No, we're not.
So we're not going to talk about things at that level.
No.
The point is, they are very much servicing the absolute top end of enthusiast performance, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. You can get an awful lot of performance out of the same mid-range from them as well. It's just not where their focus is. And they've got AMD, again, in the enthusiast space, something like 2-to-1, I think. It's a guess, at least, but you kind of derive that from the Steam hardware surveys.
Mm-hmm.
But that's neither here nor there. They have a very specific approach. They are looking at the next several years of what GPUs will mean, what they will do, and what they will mean, not just in terms of raw power, but what additional things they can bring to the experience, what they can do to find other ways to improve gaming in general. AMD, while not as aggressive on this, is doing the same thing, and Mantle's going to be interesting.
Yeah,
I don't need a GPU upgrade right now, probably not for a year. So I'm happy to have an AMD card because I'm really excited to see what Mantle means side by side with DirectX come December when they patch it into Battlefield 4. I think that's really good. And that is one interesting idea of where to go. NVIDIA's also got several ideas that are, I don't want to say keeping them in the game. They're hardly in danger of, they're hardly in any kind of danger. But like I said at the outset, it's interesting. It's fundamentally interesting.
Yeah. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll finish going over some of the replies that you gave us on Facebook there to see what you're going to be doing with next gen, upgrading the PC or building a new one, or buying one pre-built. You want to go that route too, or getting a PS4 or an Xbox One, or are you sticking with your current consoles? Are you going to wait it out? So find out what you have to say coming up next on Endgame Chat. We'll be right back. And welcome back to In-Game Chat, music there from Final Fantasy. We're in talking about consoles and what you're going to be doing with the next gen, if you're going to be doing anything. Going back to our Facebook post, Mo Moore says, Xbox One at launch, but picking up a PS4 when it's available. Also, getting a sexy PC. It'll be the first generation where I can enjoy everything. Now, I hit back on Ian Angus there, who had said he was getting a PS4 at the start, and I was kind of asking him, why is he getting a PS4 over the Xbox One? He said he wasn't going to get both because it's just too much money to spend in such a short amount of time. So why is your choice for the PS4 over the Xbox One? And his response was that the price of it and the PS3 was his main system for this generation. So the PS4 is just a natural progression for him. You don't have a lot of people saying that. For most people, the Xbox One or the Xbox 360 was their main system of the generation. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people switching over now to PS4 because of the price, because of some of the other reasons for it, the games possibly. So he said that Sarah Glassman says the boyfriend is getting two Xbox Ones. Wow, your family must be rich. says that sounds weird at launch, so that she can afford to wait on her own purchasing for a must-have game. Mo comes back and says, to be honest, I had both reserved in the beginning, Because he said he's picking up the Xbox One over the PS4 and asked him why is he going that route. He said, I had both reserved in the beginning but had to cancel the reservations. It was just blind luck that I happened to be at Target and they still had reservations for the Xbox One available. However, I have thoroughly enjoyed the 360 generation and the One was my first choice to continue that legacy. I'm only now getting into the PS3, so the PS4 doesn't have the same pull loyalty-wise. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I'll grab it when available, but once the One made all the changes, DRM, Kinect camera, that sort of thing, it jumped back to the forefront for his decision. So, you know, good decision on Microsoft's part to make those changes.
Obviously it is. Clearly, sentiment is in favor of what they've done. But there's a part of me, the part that gets on the air for 2 hours every week and talks nonsense about video games,
right,
that knows for a fact this would have been much more interesting had they changed nothing. Not more consumer-friendly, maybe not better, maybe they would have been in more trouble, but it would have been inherently more interesting, either because some development would have turned out to be better than expected, some other development may have been worse than feared, maybe it would have added a lot of conflict. I don't really know, but it was more interesting when they were committed to the decisions that they had revealed in May. And I don't know. I'm not wishing anything ill on anybody else. I'm not even wishing anything ill on Microsoft in this regard. I just, the part of me that likes to talk about interesting happenings in the video game industry, it's kind of bored by all the 180s. Really kind of tired of it.
Yeah. Calgar99, who is he still? He's still in the chat room. He responded to the post saying that he's picking up the Xbox One at launch. He is one of the oddballs who enjoys Kinect for its fitness capabilities. Plus, I'm a major Halo fanboy. I fell out of love with the PS2. My PS3 has been gathering dust since Metal Gear Solid 4, so I'm wary about jumping on the PS4. Anjanette said that she is finally jumping over the PS4 for her. She feels dirty to admit that in public. Ian responded again and said, as for the games, there is nothing in particular at launch that I'm buying the console for. The multi-platform stuff, Call of Duty, sports games, that sort of thing, will be playing anyway. I generally assume these will be better on next gen. In addition, there should be a load of content that comes along with PS Plus and some interesting indie stuff. So it's just the same as I have now, but I hope a bit better. And Jason Robertson says that he's probably going to buy himself some new monitors when he moves across the country next year. A year later, upgrade his core. A year after that, see where the consoles stand. The last two generations I bought in after about 3 years, and I see no reason not to wait that long again. So some of your responses from Facebook there about what you're going to be doing for the next gen.
You know what will do it?
Decisions. What?
Destiny.
Yeah?
Yeah. Every time that name comes up on the internet, I have my fingers crossed that it's associated with a PC announcement.
Yeah, and we got...
because I need it.
We got nothing of a confirmation.
I need it.
They got name dropped at the NVIDIA thing.
I don't even know anything. All I know is the same stuff that's been sold to everybody else. People have made good sense out of arguments that say that it really isn't everything that I'm expecting it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand, right? I never shut up about managing your own expectations. I just refuse to do that where Destiny is concerned. It's my freebie that I'm giving myself. I am uselessly, pointlessly, unjustifiably optimistic.
What's attracting you to that?
I don't know. Just said that it doesn't make sense. Don't ask me to make sense of it. I just want it to be great. I want it to be really good. It's, you know what? Fine. It's small group multiplayer content,
mm-hmm,
which is my favorite thing in the world. It's primarily co-oping with a bunch of guys to go shoot some other bad guys who are going to drop loot that I then get to wear and use to shoot other guys with my friends.
Yeah.
It's sci-fi, not fantasy. It's, you know, first person, you know, guns and stuff like that, which, whatever, I know, it's been done, but I like it. It's a comfortable interface for me to do things with my friends.
It's been done, but it hasn't been done by Bungie. Unless you count...
I don't.
Somewhat of their multiplayer modes
with
Halo. I know, and you don't. But I had some great time playing those.
That's perfectly fine. Yeah. I like their realization of science fiction And I like the notion of small group cooperative gameplay. It looks really good to me. And I like the idea that they're trying to evolve that into something that's more about, or less about, single session gameplay like Borderlands, and more of a kind of a continuum, trying to build what amounts to a campaign and a storyline and thread it through that cooperative gameplay. I like that idea. And I'm going to go ahead and be optimistic about that idea.
Yeah.
And I really, really, really need it to be on the PC. I really need it to happen on the PC. And if it may, and if it does, but it isn't until, like, you know what's going to hurt? Is if they announce it, but it's not for like another 6 months past when it comes out on the consoles.
I know.
That's going to hurt.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm waiting for it, though. I'm waiting for that whole, we're going to be on PC, also coming to PC.
I have never wanted Activision's money-grubbing, desperate market activities to come into play so badly. I want the fact that they are associated with Activision to override whatever their personal desires might be. I want them to release it on everything, as long as everything includes the PC. I just need that.
I agree with you. I'm right there.
If I don't get it, then I'll have to pick up a console, because it is a thing that I feel like I need to play.
And that console will be the PS4.
Most likely.
Yeah.
Most likely.
I'm pretty sure it will be, but you're right. I never say never on situations like that. So, Navid says, yeah, I think Destiny, Titanfall, and Infamous will be the start of the respective exclusive titles that push console hardware sales.
It'll be I think that's really when things are going to pick up. I think that's when people are really going to start seeing a next-gen version of something like Uncharted.
Mm-hmm.
Uncharted was the point at which I started eating my heart out because I didn't have a PS3. I started getting angry at you because you had a PS3 and you got to play Uncharted.
Yeah.
And I was mad. And, you know, so there's always going to be that first thing. It's going to be that one thing that's going to push you over the edge.
Speaking of, I don't know, and I'm telling you, I'm not being coy with this, I really don't know anything, but I can expect that we are just about, let's see, from here to November, and then November 19th, we're about less than 2 months away from probably getting that Uncharted 4 teaser at the VGAs.
Yeah. Oh.
I know it's coming.
Yeah.
I know they're not done with the franchise. They haven't made anything obviously official, but they're not done with it. Anything that makes anything that makes them money like that is not going to be over with.
Uncharted doesn't just make them money though.
Uncharted
is a jewel in their crown. Uncharted is something to be proud of. Not just as a development team and not just as a company, not just as Naughty Dog, but as Sony.
Mm-hmm.
Sony gets to look at that. Sony gets to point to that and say, this is the result of cultivating strong first-party relationships, of supporting first-party studios.
Yeah.
This is the result, and it's something that we haven't abandoned. That means an awful lot. It doesn't sell systems on its own, not the nature of that relationship, but it adds to the total reasons why you can really respect them as a platform holder.
Yeah. And I expect you'll see the teaser for that at the VGAs. That seems to be the process. And again, like I said, I don't know. Normally I say this with a wink, but I seriously don't know anything. I just know that it's being worked on. I just don't know when they're going to announce it. Most likely, though, the VGAs on that. Plorch in the chat room says that his interest in the PS4 initiated an unexpected recent Vita purchase, and so far I'm loving what the Vita has to offer. Killzone Mercenary on the Vita has me excited for Killzone Shadowfall on PS4, but Destiny on PS4 is the game I want the most right now.
That's actually a really excellent point. I don't think I'm going to be able to pick up a PS4 and not follow it pretty closely with a Vita.
With the Vita, yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. I mean,
you feel better now about owning your Vita?
Of course. I really do. Yeah. I do. I mean, every time they would announce something with it, first off, I felt good about it because the PS Plus subscription that I have gets me a ton of games to play on it for free or at a really big discount. If I'm really inclined to play the game or to buy the game, I can get it at a discount. And the Vita's just a really, really great piece of hardware. And the stuff that they've announced that it's going to be able to do back and forth with the PS4 just made that purchase all the more you know,
justifiable.
Justifiable, yeah. That's the word I'm looking
after
for.
After the fact?
After the fact, exactly. Over to RJ here. Before the show, you had your notebook. You were writing some. What were you writing there?
I was writing.
Were you writing character names?
Yeah, I was writing character names. I was thinking about something with the Killer Instinct article that you put on the show notes for today. They had announced the $60 special bundle.
Killer Instinct, an Xbox One exclusive.
Yeah, Xbox One exclusive.
And it's a fighting game, so you're torn.
Not really.
Okay. Never mind then.
Do you feel bad, I'm sure. I'd like to play it, but it ain't worth spending, shelling out the cash for the system. Like I said, I mean, I've been through that before. It's nothing new to me. I could always play it somewhere else at a tournament somewhere I go to. They probably have a system set up for it, and I can play it then if need be. But, yeah, I was looking at the article there, and I was seeing the characters that that they were putting out and the pricing structure. Got me thinking about it again. The 8 characters for $20, or if you want to go free-to-play route, they're $5 a piece. They give you 1 character, and I don't know of any fighting game that's worth a flip if you only have 1 character available at launch, so you're going to have to put out $5 eventually.
One character at launch would have been great for me back in my Mortal Kombat days because it was all Sub-Zero all the time.
Yeah, but they had the $60 limited edition, which is the combo up the Ultra Edition with all 8 characters, packs, and all the bells and whistles and whatnot, and a pack to get pins, collectibles, and a notebook to put them all in. I mean, I thought I would see something that would increase the gameplay or do something else for you for going out that route, but I guess not. It's just a collectible, just an issue for those who want to collect anything from it. But I was writing out characters because of the Season 1 pack that had like 8 characters, but I think they have a roster of like 14 characters that they could put in, and so that's going to be coming out later on, I'm guessing. I'm not sure. I haven't heard too much information about what other characters they've got other than the 8 that they've got available now.
No, I'm not, you know, I don't follow the fighting game, so I'm glad that you do, so that you can give us your insight on it and what you think about it.
Most times I see a fighting game comes out, it's like the bulk of the characters come out.
Usually
first.
For any fighting game, you get
the bulk first, and then you get like 1 or 2 down the line, 1 a month or something along those lines. But this one feels like half of the roster is available, and then the other half comes on much later on.
Zoranu says that it's similar to League of Legends, which is another game I don't know anything about.
Oh, I haven't played League of Legends. If it's the same way, I haven't known about that.
It's worth pointing out that there is no... This isn't happening on top of a $60 price point. You know, you're not paying $60 and then being required to buy everything. The option to buy in as you see fit is... I mean, it's interesting, and I don't necessarily know that it's the right thing to do with a fighting game, mostly because I don't have any connection to the culture of fighting games. But I guess from an objective point of view, I really just need to see it work. I need to hear what people have to say after having had access to it. Mm-hmm. I need to know if this is just some kind of, if it's an intellectual argument or if it really is a practical, legitimate problem. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
I mean, you understand what I'm trying to get at. Is it a business model that's going to work for this for that particular genre? I'm thinking. Because if you're the casual player... I don't see you getting excited about paying extra for extra characters, but if you're playing competitively, like going to tournaments or whatnot, you'd want to see what every character is capable of, so you'd want to get practice time and play time and seeing those other characters in action. So you put the money out there to get them, or go with someone else, play with someone else who already has, or something along those lines.
Navid, right? In the chat room, and you may know this, how big was the original Killer Instinct roster?
The original Killer Instinct roster?
14?
Was it 8 to 10 folks?
I don't know.
Let's go back to the notes then, if that's the case.
I was going
to
say, you keep all this stuff, guy can take some notes, man. Back before we did this thing here when we were on the radio.
Paper.
I know. He kept all of our show notes.
Paper and all this stuff. Let's see.
When we would go back and do the intro of
your quill.
When we would go back and do the intro of the show and highlight the things we talked about, it was reading his notes that he had taken during the show to know what it was that that we discussed. And guy keeps his records.
See, fucking think of 10 folks in the original game.
So at least 10 we're talking.
Yeah, at least 10 we're
at
talking
least
about.
10.
Yeah.
From the original one.
Mm-hmm.
So Truth Unknown says 10 on the SNES.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Was that SNES or was that N64?
I think it was N64.
I think it was N64.
N64 was on that
one.
Yeah, N64 because I remember that controller using it for that. Wasn't a good experience using that controller in there, but yeah. Yeah, N64.
Gold was on N64, or was on the 64.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was on the SNES, but it also got the gold version of it was on the 64. I love that we have a chat room of people in there who can look up stuff when we can't, or just know it off the top of their head.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brain Trust.
11 on Killer Instinct 1 and 11 on Killer Instinct 2. I'm only guessing he used the two.
That's two.
Yeah, per the wiki that he was looking at. So,
let's see, who's the 11th then, if that's the case?
Yeah, that's going to bog. That's going to hurt your mind, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to bug me now.
Well, anyway, we've only got a few minutes left in the show. And then next week,
that's right. Yeah.
What? You got it?
He says Idol. It was a boss unlock. You get to play as Idol.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Next week, Batman Arkham Origins on a Friday of all things. I'm not particularly happy about that.
You're only not happy about it because it's next Friday. If it had been this past Friday, you'd be fine with it.
Whoa!
By now, because it's on the weekend.
Yeah, I know.
It's right before the weekend, which actually is a pretty wonderful time for games to come out.
Yeah. However, the weekend that it's on now, right before, is the weekend before Battlefield 4 hits.
It hits on the next Tuesday. I don't see any reason that we won't be able to finish it. Well, I at least won't be able to finish it by then. I say that. It's not going to happen at all. I'm a complete liar. Don't listen to me.
that's, as far as I know, that's the only thing releasing next week that I've had my eye on. I don't know of anything else. The week after that, of course, is Battlefield 4 and Assassin's Creed 4 on the same day.
Same day, 29th.
Yeah.
Well, for current gen.
Assassin's
Creed 4.
Yeah. Now, Battlefield 4 gets a PC release simultaneous with the current gen console release, mm-hmm. but Assassin's Creed 4 does not get a PC release until in between the PS4 release and the Xbox One release, the 19th.
Yeah. That'll be a really good comparison. You're not going to take a look at Assassin's Creed on the 29th.
No.
On a current gen? You're not going to do that?
Yeah.
See, I'm actually very glad that that's happening. There's a portion of my mind that is still thinking that I was already going to spend the money on Watch Dogs for the PC when it came out. I am not a very big fan of Assassin's Creed anymore. You may remember my thoughts on Assassin's Creed 3.
Oh, yeah.
But having the option to either Gamefly or Redbox the current gen version of Assassin's Creed 4, it doesn't show me how good the game can look, but I will know pretty clearly whether the mechanics behind the game, whether the world design, whether the story design, the progression, all of those things, the style of the combat, that's all going to be pretty consistent across the generational gap. Those are the issues I had with Assassin's Creed. Not was it pretty enough. I didn't care terribly about that. It's the core game design that I took issue with in 3.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the thing that's going to either sell me on 4 or push me away from 4. And I can find that out for $2 at a red box.
Right. It's perfectly valid there. I was going to say we are, I never really like saying these, but it seems like we're about to be able to have an interview with the guys who did Outlast. That will not be a live interview. It'll be pre-recorded. So if you've got questions that you would like to ask the guys who made Outlast, spooky horror survival, no combat type game that just came out about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
We should be interviewing them sometime next week over Skype. And if you've got questions for those, you can email us your questions. You can post them on COG if you'd like. Whatever way that you can get your questions to us if you want us to ask
them. Get
them
to us on Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter. That's another way. Twitter, Facebook, all of our ways that you can get in touch with us, just use that. We're looking at doing an interview with them sometime next week that we will have for the show next Saturday. So that has not been confirmed, but we are working on a time and a date for that. But it looks like next week is going to be the day for that. So send those in if you'd like to, and I don't know. Other than that, I can't think of anything else.
The next 6 days really should be about taking a stab at the backlog. picking at least something.
Oh, yeah.
Something that you don't have done at the moment, that's getting something off of your list. I've been meaning to write my list, right? Form out an actual
paper
list of things.
There you go. Here's the notebook for RJ.
I can't. My hand will cramp up. I don't even know how to use one of those anymore. And just picking something, right? Like just finding something on the list, something that's maybe only just a few hours long, and just knocking it out and getting it off and trying to make some real progress on it. Not, and maybe The Witcher, but like I look at The Witcher and I'm like, oh God,
that's not a week's project.
Yeah,
I know that's.
It's going to be a while.
That's going to be a while.
That should be your December project.
Maybe.
Well, not for you. You're going to be swamped and stuff.
Yeah, see, I'm in the same boat with Uncharted. I got 2 and 3 to play.
Oh, yeah, you have quite a lot to do.
You know what? I don't necessarily feel bad for you, though, just because of those, how great those are.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? I would love to have those two games on a backlog to go through and be like, ah, I would look forward to that. But that's not a situation that I can, that I have. But, yeah, I look at it, too, and I'm like, you know, Witcher is something I need to get to, but that's not a weak project for me. Bioshock 2 for you. I know you had started that. I don't know that you had finished it,
no.
But I know you had started it.
I did.
I never did the add-ons for that.
I know Nabokov isn't in the chat room. He usually is, but he had a road trip he had to take. But I talked to him today, and for my birthday, he gave me Kerbal Space Program. So I've got that to look at.
That's terrible. You can't finish that.
No, you can't, but I'd love to give it a look-see.
Which maybe is better or not. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Personally, I have the need. I need to finish something. I need to beat a game that has an ending and put it away and think about it, digest it, and know that I am completely done with it.
I was going to say Stanley Parable because that's been suggested, but from what I understand, there's that ending is also kind of... what's the word, existential or something? It's sort of a
okay.
I mean, I don't know. It's
not a nice, neat, clean ending. That
play
you
the
walk
demo
away from.
Is yeah. what I'm saying. Play yeah. the demo, and you'll see what kind of ending you come away with. The demo is very much self-realizing in that it's a demo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it actually is. The narration for
it's actually its own content, which is wonderful.
When yeah, demos do that. Zoranu says it's the game is more of an experience than it is a game.
Right.
So. Look at it that way. But that's something else that I'm also interested in as well. So anyway, lots of stuff coming up. And then, of course, the thinning of it and going back to the backlog after the next-gen stuff releases and that sort of thing.
Depending on what you're interested in.
Yeah, really. So anyway, that's going to do it for us. Thanks, everybody, for joining us in the chat room, as well as everybody listening on the radio. We do appreciate it when you guys tune in and join us live. We do. And we also appreciate it when you join us through iTunes or YouTube or however you get the show. We do appreciate that. Don't forget to join us on Twitter, Facebook, our forums at ColonyofGamers.com, and subscribe to our YouTube channel and our Twitch channel. And if you're on Steam, we've got a Steam group that you can join up with over there and play games with us and other listeners. And every now and again, we give away free games over there that we get in through whatever means. So thank you very much for joining us. We will see you next Saturday for In-Game Chat. Have a good week.